Hi, and welcome to another MVA session, another quick start challenge. My name is Jerry O'Brien. I'm a senior content development manager here at Microsoft Learning Experiences. What we're going to cover today is a quick start challenge on Project Spark. Now, if you haven't had the opportunity to look at Project Spark, this is a great little gaming platform that we've got available on the PC and on the Xbox console. You can create your own games and you can post them on the marketplace and you can have people play your creations and you can play your creations on your PC and on the Xbox console. Quick start challenges, what we're going to cover today, are typically quick, short, concise ways of looking at something new, some technology, some way of getting you interested in it or excited about working with it, and we want to get you excited about Project Spark. So what we're going to do today is we're going to take about 15 to 20 minutes of your time, assuming I don't talk a whole lot, and we'll walk through the tutorials, and we'll show you how to get Project Spark up and running and creating a game that you can show to your friends, and who knows, even take a look at having it show up on the Project Spark start screen. So if you're ready, let's switch to the computer and let's have a look at Project Spark. So what I've got up here on the screen right now is the start screen for Project Spark, and you can see it's still listed as in beta, and that's perfectly fine. You can help us bug test and make sure that it works really well. But it is fully functional and you can create your games without any problems at all. You'll notice it down here on the bottom. These are the featured games that we have available, and these are created by folks such as yourself. So let's go ahead and get started and see how Project Spark lets us create a game. We're going to click on the Create button in the middle, and this takes us to the Create screen in Project Spark. And you'll notice if you have created anything in Project Spark already, such as I have, I've got a few 3D adventures that I've worked on in the past, and they show up on my created projects. I won't walk you through any of those because none of them are very good, but we're going to take a look at the tutorial, and we're going to get started on creating your own game step by step. So let's click on the tutorials. One of the things that you'll notice as you start working through the Project Spark product is that you'll click on a button, it'll turn green, and nothing will happen other than a little pop-up that shows up that tells you what that does. So it's kind of a way of the product saying, this is what you'll do if you click this button. So let's click it again and step into the tutorials. So what we're going to do is create a 3D adventure. And it says, experience your first taste of creating an adventure game with this tutorial, and we'll go step by step. What we're going to do is we're going to click on the play button and let Project Spark go ahead and start with this new empty world, and you'll see that it's loading and initializing some content for us initially. What it asks you up front is what type of input you're going to use. Now notice it says a controller, a keyboard and mouse, or touchscreen. So what basically this means is that if you're have this installed on your Xbox console, you can use the Xbox controller as the input for this game creation. If you're on a PC, you can use a keyboard and mouse. If you are on a Surface device or other tablet device that has touch input, you can use touch input to create your game. I'm going to use the keyboard and mouse for this one. And when I select it, we're getting ready to start creating our new game. Now, you'll notice what it says in the 3D Adventure Progress. This is what we're going to do in this quick start challenge. We're going to create a hero. We're going to add an enemy. We're going to make a mountain. We're going to make a path, and then we're going to create a goal. There'll be a bunch of extra little bits and pieces that we'll work on as we step through this tutorial, such as adding functionality or logic for our character and how it will behave and moving around and fighting against the enemies that we create. So, one of the things the tutorial does is presents these little screens in the middle, or sometimes offset if they're going to cover up a component of the game, and it's the instructions that help you walk through it. So each time you see one of these boxes with this expanding circle and an arrow means you need to click on it to advance to the next set of instructions or to advance to actually doing what it is that instruction tells you. So let's click on this one. It says the hero's journey begins with a hero, so we're going to create a hero. We need to select prop mode because this is where we'll find our hero characters. Anytime the tutorial wants you to click or select something, you will see some kind of an animated icon telling you what you need to do. You'll notice that I can't click on anything else because the tutorial keeps me kind of constrained to what it is that it wants me to do. So let's go ahead and click on the prop mode. And now it tells us this is where we'll add the interesting objects to the world, and we can edit and remove them from within the prop mode as well. So let's click on that instruction, bring up the next one that says the prop palette, which is down here, contains a lot of our most recently used items. And there's an arrow above it that will be available for us here in a moment that takes us to something called the prop gallery. And you can find items in the prop gallery. Let's go ahead and open it. And within the prop gallery, you're going to see that we have all kinds of props. There are effects that we can add to our game, characters, assemblies. There's all kinds of things, sounds and visual effects and what have you. And you'll notice it also says we can filter by using the tabs that are up here. All right, so we have different types of objects in our gallery that we can actually work with. And we can filter so that we can constrain the choice to what specifically we're looking for. So in this case, it says select the characters tab because that's all we want to do. We want to add a hero, and a hero is a character in our game. Once we click on the characters tab, you'll see that we have a lesser amount of items available in the gallery. You'll notice that some of these have no specific little icons up in the corner. These are free, okay? So they come as a part of Project Spark. You can add these and use these without any issue. If you notice that some of these other ones have a little silver coin or a gold bar, that means that these will cost you coins, they will cost you something in order for you to use them in your application. Once my screen becomes a little brighter up here where you can see that I actually have some silver coins, I have no gold bars yet, that's based on your experience as you're using the game. So as you go through the process of building games, adding characters, and doing different things, you'll start to collect these coins and these gold bars. And they allow you to purchase, if you will, these items that have the little icons next to them. All right, so let's go ahead and choose a character. We'll choose a woodland fighter because we're going to be battling an enemy here in a moment. And then we now have this funny little looking character that we can move around and place wherever we want to on the screen. When we're happy with where we find or have found a location, I guess, if we want to put this character, we simply left click. And now the character is placed into our world. And you'll notice that we've got a bunch of options that surround the prop itself or the chain or the character. And they allow us to change some certain things like the behaviors or the size of it or different things. And we'll work with these in a little bit. But for now, we're just going to click on the tutorial and move to the next step, which allows us to open something called the Brain Editor. So again, when you drop your character on, you're going to work with one of these different pieces of functionality that change the characteristics of the behavior of your character. Now, in the Brain Editor, as they say, this is where the magic really happens. So we create a collection of what are known as code statements. And notice it's K-O-D-E and not C-O-D-E. This is just what they call the code or that will actually be sort of writing within Project Spark. They tell our objects how to behave. So we have a when side and we have a do side. When something is true over here, the action we specify in the do statement will actually take place. So let's create a blank brain, which we have right now, and we'll build some behavior into our character right from the scratch. So clicking on the plus sign next to the when opens up a tile picker. And these are code tiles, and this is where we can choose the type of behavior that we want. Notice they are divided into functionalities. So we have objects, values, sensors. These are categorizations or folders. We click on the tutorial and it says select the controls. So we want to be able to move our character around. In this case, we've chosen the keyboard, so we're going to choose the keyboard type character. And we'll use those standard WASD or the WASD keys. And so now what's happening is Project Spark is going to monitor these keys on the keyboard. So this is the when. This is like an event that takes place. When you press a W, an A, an S, or a D key, what happens? So now we've done the when, and the tutorial is saying we need to tell the character what we want it to do when that happens. So in this case, we're going to work with the movement folder, and we're going to select the move tile, and we've written the first line of code. Notice we didn't type anything in. We're just simply clicking and selecting items. But behind the scenes, Project Spark has added code that will cause our character to do what we want it to do in the game itself. So we're done with the Brain Editor for now for this instance. We'll come back in here and make some changes a little bit later in the tutorial. So we'll click the back arrow. And this brings us back into our prop mode or prop edit mode. And now our instruction says tap the top arrow to open the pause menu. So we're in the middle of editing. When we click and open the pause menu, we can switch between what's known as edit mode and test mode. So we can save the level, share it, and what have you. And let's click on the tutorial. It says it wants us to test our game from the beginning. So click test to try out. And now what happens is our game loads, and it's not very interesting right now because we have a character on a blue background and that's about all. But you'll notice if I press the W and the S keys, he moves forward and backward, and the A and D key allows him to move left and right. And that's about all our character is currently able to do right now because that's all the code that we've written. So we're done. We can exit the tutorial, but we're not finished with the tutorial. Instead, we're going to press escape, stay in the tutorial, and come back out to the pause menu and resume editing so we can go ahead and change some more characteristics. All right, so let's select our hero one more time. Come back into the brain editor because all of our characters want to have the ability to jump. So we're going to, again, come back to our controls, select the keyboard, and create a key press. Now, this time it's saying press a key. So you have the opportunity to choose what key you want your character to jump when, or which key you want to use to make your character jump is the best way of putting it. So all the Project Spark is telling us to do is press the key you want. I'll use the space bar. So it says when you press the space bar, we want to do an action. And again, the jump is a movement. So we'll select the movement folder and the jump. Now, so whenever the key is held, so whenever we hold the space key, our character will jump. But we're not done yet. We don't want the character to stay up in the air, right? So in other words, when we press the key, we want the character to jump but come right back down again. So we're going to put a modifier which changes or affects the tile that comes before it. So when the space bar is pressed, this is the action that we're monitoring for, or the event. So we're going to add a modifier to it. And clicking on the plus opens the modifiers folder, and we're going to select the pressed tile. So what this means is that the hero will only jump when the key is first pressed. You'll have to release it and press it again before the character can jump one more time. So notice it also says here that our brain is missing one more key, and it's called a camera. This was basically why the game didn't follow the character around or didn't move. So our character was seen to be kind of far off in the distance and looked like a small character, and the game didn't follow the character around. So we want to click this time on a do. So we're not concerned about an event because we want this to happen at all times, right? So we're going to go ahead and work with the camera angle. Now this time it says select the next arrow. Notice it says page 1 of 3. So for all of the actions, there are multiple actions available. And in this case, we're going to page 2 to find the camera action and choose the follow camera tile. Now, again, notice it says because the when side is empty, the camera will always follow the player. So it's not relying on an event to take place. Now let's try out the new camera. So we're going to exit the brain editor, and we're going to click on the play button this time. Notice how our camera now has immediately jumped to behind our player. As I move my mouse around, it kind of changes the angle of the camera itself. And when I move my player, now we see that the camera is actually following my player around in a little closer proximity. Test out my jump. My player does indeed jump. All right, so I've tested it. My jump works, my movement works, and my camera works, so we're following the character around. Let's step back into edit mode, and we're going to make a couple of more changes. So we're going to go back into the brain editor again. Because we're going to have an enemy here in a minute, we need to be able to attack. So when we click the left mouse button, we want to generate some kind of an attack. So we click on the when a control event is pressed or takes place, in this case the left mouse button, what do we want to do? We want to combat, and we want to attack. So now the hero will attack when we click the left mouse button. Now we also want to do a ranged attack, which means that you can do something to an enemy a little further away. So this is when we click the right mouse button in this case. So we need to add another when event. When a control event takes place from the mouse, such as the right mouse button, let's go ahead and do a combat, and in this case we're going to shoot something. And this one here, it says a devastating ranged attack that fires a projectile in a straight line free from the effects of gravity. All right, so now the hero is going to shoot when we click the right mouse button, and the default projectile is a fireball. Let's go ahead and see how it works. So we exit out of the brain editor, Hey, I've achieved level 4 in Spark. All right, I get more experience points and I get more coins. All right, let's click on the play button and see what happens. So here's our character. We can move around, and I'm going to make the character face us. So if we click the left mouse button, this is what our attack looks like. So it's a lunging punch, left and right. And if we decide we want to attack from a range, we click on the right mouse button. Let's turn him sideways for a little bit, and you can see this fireball going out. And it goes out quite a distance, usually until it hits something or runs out of fire. So now we've got some attacks available. We're almost ready to start adding an enemy that we can fight against. So we're going to need an adversary to test the new power. So let's go ahead and create an enemy. We're going to open the prop palette and choose an enemy for our hero to fight. And in this case, it wants us to choose a goblin. All right. So select the goblin from the prop palette. Now, this case, the prop palette is already open, so we don't have to go into the gallery to select it. It's already in a recently used items. And we're going to select the goblin from the palette. And now we have our goblin, and we want to place the goblin in the world. If we want to be sneaky, we can put it behind our player so he doesn't see him. But let's just place him anywhere in the world at all for the time being. Now our enemy is there. Now it says, instead of coding a brain from scratch, this time we're going to take a look at some pre-made brains. And this is going to make a fierce little goblin. So we'll open the brain editor. And normally the goblin would come with a default brain. It says right now it's blank, so we're going to go give him a new one. And it says select the gears at the top of the screen, which opens our brain options menu. So it contains choices that allow you to affect an object's entire brain or individual pages. So in other words, what it's going to do is it's going to write a lot of code statements for us automatically. So we want to select the brain gallery. This is where we'll find a lot of those pre-configured brains. So this is the brain library. We've got a wide variety of behaviors we can easily drop onto an object. And you can check back here periodically, because as people add new brains or new functionality, you'll find new brains available in here. So we'll find and drop enemy brain onto the goblin, which makes him a bit more hostile. So we could scroll through this. As you can see, our scroll bar is down here, and these arrows allow us to scroll. It might take us a while to find it. So instead, we can actually click in this search box and start typing enemy, and it will start to filter what we actually see for brains. And in this case, here's our enemy brain that we were looking for. So you can see how it kind of limited the amount of brains that were available in here, right? So let's select the enemy brain. And now you'll notice in the background, a whole bunch of code statements have already been written for us. All right, so let's exit out of the brain options, exit out of the brain editor. And now let's see how ferocious our little goblin has become. So we click on the play button. We have a goblin around here somewhere. Where did he go? Well, there he is. I knew he was ferocious, but I didn't think he was slow. So there he is. And we can attack him, or he will attack us. As you can see, he's ferocious, and he's got these big claws. So we can hit him with the ranged one. And we have successfully killed our goblin. All right. So we're done testing that. Let's go back into edit mode and see what's coming up next. All right, so we've created a hero, we've created an enemy, but it's no fun having them play in this little blue world. So what we're now going to do is we're going to add some form to the world, if you will. We're going to create a world, in this case, make a mountain through sculpting, painting, and adding a few props. So the next challenge is to create a mountain. And in order to do that, we'll enter what's known as sculpt mode. So we come over here in the edit mode, select sculpt. And the first step is to create a landscape, and we have to learn to control the camera in order to do it. So what that basically means is, as we use our WASD keys, we can move our camera around, okay, so up and down to move the camera where we need it to be, okay, and then we can start to create stuff. Now, we have sculpt mode available, and we're almost ready to get started. The next thing it says is use the E and Q keys to move our camera up and down. So we use the WASD, moves our camera angle around, but the E and the Q allows us to move our camera straight up or straight down. We can also hold the right mouse button and orbit around, okay? So it allows us to change our angle of view, if you will. We can also use the R and F keys to zoom in and out. Or if you have a wheel on your mouse, you can also use that as well, okay? There's also a center on player button, right over here on the right-hand side, which recenters the camera at any time. So if we were way over here somewhere and we wanted to start where our player is, we can simply click on center on player and it brings our camera right back to the player itself. All right, so let's start creating our world. Now, when we mold in sculpt mode, we can modify, raise, create terrain, and there's a bunch of different tools that we can use that. Now, because there's one that will actually sculpt, there's one that will erase as well. So to sculpt, we hold the left mouse button and move the brush over the terrain. And this is known as the expand erode tool over here. In expand mode, the brush will raise the terrain. And in erode mode, it will reduce the terrain. And that's going to depend on how you use the tool. All right, so this tool expands the terrain it touches. So if we hold down the left mouse button and move the brush to raise a mountain in the path. So if we click and hold the left mouse button, it's going to move something. But problem is, we don't really have anything to raise yet. Okay, so I'm going to move my camera angle out a little bit. So basically what it's saying is, if you click on this, it will change you to either sculpt or mode. Oops. So it wants us to change the size of the slider. I just made a big water hole, but we'll fix that here in a minute. So we can change the scale, which is the size of the brush. Okay, so here's the scale, and here's our brush intensity. So we've got the ability to change how big or how small the brush is, and you can see that most of my brush disappears off of the screen. If I zoom the camera out, you can get an idea of how big that brush actually is. And if I scroll it down smaller, you can see that it changes the size of it. So if you want to paint the whole world, we're going to need to actually move the mouse so that it gets us what we're looking for in the right size. So what I need to do is just step back a little bit. Oh, wait, no. Tutorial has kind of got me held out here for a minute. So the problem is, as I'm creating this, I actually went into erase mode and I didn't create a mountain, but I created a bunch of water. Once the tutorial allows me to get back in here, I'm going to click back to the sculpt mode. So let's go ahead and start adding some of the landscape back in again, because I kind of deleted it or got rid of it and created a whole bunch of water. So as you can see, what it's now doing is it's filling in the water and it's adding landscape. In any place that there is actually land that exists, as you can see, as I hold the mouse over that specific area, the mountain is expanding. So my earth or my ground is starting to go taller and taller and taller. So this is how you actually create a mountain, is by going in sculpt mode and locating where you want your mountain to be and clicking and holding, and it will slowly start to increase the size of the land and grow it up into a mountain. Okay, now you can create this mountain almost as high as you want. So let's zoom out just a little bit and see how we can get the mountain to grow taller and taller and taller. The longer I hold it, the more it's going to grow. And again, if you want to deal with a smaller piece of mountain, you can scale your mouse down, right? And you can create it smaller. Now, this particular part of the tutorial is talking about clicking the arrow buttons on either side of the undo bar, these ones here, that will allow you to jump forward or backwards one action. So what they're basically saying is, if I click this, you'll see how that mountain has disappeared. So the last piece of the mountain that I actually created, I can bring it back by clicking the right one and my larger mountain comes back again. We can click and drag the scrub, or drag to scrub, sorry, through the bar to get where we want to. So we can choose this and we can drag this back, and you can see how your world starts changing as you're dragging it through. So this is, consider this kind of an undo for your world as you're creating it, if you will. Okay. Now, it says we want to shape our mountain with finer details, so we'll reduce the brush's intensity. Now, I had already reduced that intensity a little bit, so you can increase the intensity. And what we mean by that is, if I've increased it, you can see how fast that mountain grew with that large intensity of the brush. Now, if I decrease the intensity of the brush, I can control smaller pieces of the mountain itself. And even changing the scale of the brush, again, we get into smaller bits and pieces, okay? So we have expanded the mountain, but let's say I want to create a nice, neat little valley through here. Okay, what we want to do then is we want to be able to erode in here. So if we come back over and choose the erode, then our mouse allows us to erode. So now we've created a wonderful little cavity in the middle. Kind of looks like my teeth after I visited the dentist, but we don't want to talk about that. So the expand and the erode mode allow us to go ahead and change what we're doing as we mold and sculpt the world. So we'll click here and we're done. Now we want to add some color. Again, our mountains, our world is just kind of bluish. So what we're going to do now is add some texture or some actual landscape information. So we'll select the paint tool, And we're in paint mode. So this is how we add different colors and materials to the world. We've got this recently used template down here, and the arrow above that palette will allow us to open the paint gallery and select more options from it. Okay, so in this case, it says hold the left mouse button to paint some magic into your world. What they're talking about is this is the currently selected paint style that we will have. So we click on that and it says go ahead and paint your world. So as we left click and drag across our world, you'll see that this type of landscape, which is what's currently chosen, starts to paint our world. And this is where it becomes, you know, really important for you to be able to control your camera angle. So if we rotate around and then we scroll out, we can see how big our world actually is. We want to change the size of our brush itself so we can start painting our world a lot faster. And then you can start getting into some really interesting effects for your world itself. So we're going to paint all over a lot of the world just to give it some texture so it doesn't look like that boring old blue. All right, and then we get the mountain painted. You'll also notice that as we've painted it, it didn't do anything with the water. So there's some intelligence built in here that says we've got a bit of water here. It shouldn't have a foliage type of a landscape on it. Also, it notices that we have, the mountain actually has a side. So we actually, if we zoom in, we can see that there's some actual rock faces, even though we were choosing this grassy kind of foliage for it. It knows that the side of the mountain may or may not have foliage growing on it, so it's created some rocks in there for us. All right, so we've got this, as the tutorial says, a vivid and awe-inspiring mountain. We'll click and move on to making a path. So now we've made an interesting landscape, but we want our hero to know where to go. Well, they can just wander around aimlessly in our world if we want to, or we can create paths. So we're going to choose a different background material to paint the ground beneath the path, so it makes the path look a little bit different. In this case, we're going to choose the second material on the paint palette. Now again, keep in mind that this is what the tutorial makes available for us. If you have modified these free slots by changing the content or the type that's in there, it may be slightly different from what you see in here right now. So drag the slider to change the side of your brush, or hold shift and scroll the mouse wheel. So there's a couple of different ways, right? Hold shift, scroll the mouse wheel back towards you, makes it very small, or again, we can scale here. So let's go ahead and change our camera angle just a wee little bit, and we'll zoom in some, and we will create a path for our character. Now you notice that all that's happening is we're just simply creating this different style of landscape. Let me zoom out a little bit more. And we're going to draw a path right to our enemy because we want our hero to find him and to fight him, right? So we've painted over. We've got some material that kind of makes this look like a path. We can have our path run off in a bunch of different directions. Yay, yay. And the tutorial says, great, you've done enough. Let's move on. Now, what we want to do is pick a contrasting material for the path. So we've drawn out this path, but we want it to be a little more contrasting. So we're going to pick something from the gallery. And it says, let's replace this slot on the paint palette. So if we select it and open the materials gallery by clicking this arrow, we can select from a bunch of different types of materials that we can paint that path with. And it will replace whatever is in that current slot. So in this case, it says choose a material. So we've got stone path, we have woodlands coast path, woodlands path if we want, peak if we're up on a mountain or what have you. Scorched path. I kind of like the little stone path, so I'm going to choose that, and it has replaced that slot with the stone path down here. All right, let's click the back arrow, and we step back out into here, and now we have this nice, neat little small brush, and we're going to paint our stone path. And you can see as we start to paint over the path that we created, we're creating a nice, neat little stone path. I can follow our world all around. And again, remember, you can use a combination of your sculpt mode and your erode mode to change the size and the dimensions of this path. If you click and you hold the mouse button down as you're moving over it, you'll change the height of the path a little bit as well. All right, so we've got our path created. We created it with a different type of a material. Now it says it could use a bit more sprucing up to make it more interesting. So let's place some coins on there. So we're going to go into prop mode. And if you've played any of the games, you know, the old Mario Brothers and stuff or what have you, you certainly want to deal with some coins, or you want to throw something in there that you could collect on the way. Notice it said no results found, and that's because our enemy search criteria was still on the box. So click the X to kind of get rid of that. And then what we want to do is we're going to select prop mode, and we want to select coin. Now we can left click to place a coin anywhere in the world. So if we left click, we can place it, and now it says that more coins are more fun, so we can use clone to actually make a bunch of copies. So let's open the properties menu for the coin. So we've placed one coin there. We open the properties menu. This is what our coin looks like. And it says to change the object's behavior, alter its physics, etc., you'll do so in the properties menu. It's also where you can delete it or make copies using clone. So let's choose the clone option. And now it says, all right, you are ready to go ahead and clone. So we can left click and place a whole bunch of coins all over the place, wherever we want these coins to be. And you can go ahead and place them by your enemy because he doesn't care about the coins and he won't touch them. All right, so we've put a bunch of them around. We're gonna press escape to exit the clone mode. And we're almost done, but it says our path needs a little vegetation. How about adding a tree? So we're gonna add some more props. We open the prop gallery and it wants us to find a tree. In this case, we're going to simply type in tree so that we can filter it and get down and select the type of tree that we are interested in. So let's choose a young tree A, and we can park this just about anywhere. So left click to place it, and we will, let's park it right over here in the corner. Now we can make it a little bit bigger and we can rotate it. So let's look at how to do that. We can use the scale icon to change the tree size. So when we click on that, it says drag the scale icon to change the size. So we can make this tree large. We can make it tiny, it's a little shrub if you want to. Let's make a relatively large tree. You can see that I ran out of screen real estate, but I can just come back in, center click on this and zoom or drag more to make it larger when we want to, okay? So let's say that's a nice big tree. We want to rotate the base of it to change its orientation. So you'll notice this little green icon down here. If you click on that, and I find it sometimes a little difficult to find the exact place if you're not zoomed in correctly. So we can change our camera angle and get right into the base of the tree. Oh, now we're moving it around. And let's rotate so we can get a better look at this icon here. You'll notice that if you change the angle just right and you get in here, you can see that green changes to a lighter color. Now we can select it and we can rotate the tree to say, I want it this way, I want it that way, whatever direction you want your tree to be. All right, so we've rotated the tree. We can reposition it, we can drag the colored arrows. All right, so these arrows here you can drag, which will reposition your tree now wherever you want it to be if you wish, okay? Or you can change the swirl icon, which actually snaps it to the terrain, right? So that'll snap it to the terrain itself. Okay, so we have created a hero. We've added an enemy. We've made a mountain. We've made a path. And now we're going to create a goal. So it has a summit to conquer, a path to follow, a treasure to find, and battles to fight. We've created a grand adventure. All journeys must eventually end. So that means we need to create a goal for the player. That means what will happen. How does the game end? And the game will end once we have achieved that. So let's open our prop gallery. And in this case, we're going to search for a flag. So we want our player to find the flag. We'll choose the village flag prop. And when the player gets to that village flag prop, that's when the game ends. Now, left click to place it in the world. Let's zoom out a little bit with our mouse wheel so that we can place that flag somewhere in the world. And we're going to fight the enemy over here, but let's place the flag over here, all right? And we need to write a brain for the flag that's going to do two things. We need to detect when the player has reached it, and we need to display a victory message and end the game. So we'll do that from the brain editor. First, when we detect that the player has reached the flag, we'll use something called a bump sensor. Kind of like a proximity sensor, it lets us know when the player has reached the flag or kind of touches the flag itself. So we'll do the sensors and the bump tile. So when the player bumps, all right, when any of the objects bump into it, since you only want to sense the player, so in other words, we don't want our enemy bumping into it and ending the game, we want the player to bump into it. We want to filter the sensor's results. So we're going to add another modifier here. So we select the plus side, select the objects folder, and select the player tile. All right, so now when the when side checks to see if the player has reached the flag, the do side will tell us what to do. And it says, so far all the code we've written has been on page one of this brain, and every brain has at least one page, but we're going to use an additional one to enter the victory state. So we're going to add another page. So we'll select the do side, the plus symbol on the do side, And in this case, it says select the next arrow. Again, we're going to find a different page of brain functionality. And in this case, we're going to select the brains folder. And we're going to say we want to switch the page. So when the player reaches there, we want to switch the page. And what do we want to switch to? Again, we're going to navigate to the next page and the brains folder. And we say we want to navigate to the next page tile. So switch page to the next page, right? So it's kind of like changing state. Now, this tells the brain to stop running the current page, start running the next page. Page one is done. Now we got to switch over to page two and add that victory state. So we can navigate to the next page of this brain by clicking this arrow. And there we go. Sounds like my mouse calibration might have been a little bit off on this one. So welcome to page two. The code on this page will not run until the brain switches from page one to page two. And that's fine because we've already set up the event and the action. Now, anything we want the player to do once the flag reaches should be on this page. So we're going to display a simple victory message. And in this case, we click on do. And we click on the appearance folder. We're going to display something. And what we're going to display is a display tile. And we need to create a custom piece of text. So again, adding plus to that. Yeah, my mouse is slightly out of calibration, so we'll have to fix that a little bit later. But what we're going to do is add a value, in this case text, and we're going to enter some new text. So what do we want to have happen? Well, what will be displayed when the players reach the flag? And we can say something as simple as congratulations. All right, that's good enough for now. Click on the checkbox. You can also modify where the message is going to show up and how big it will be. So again, we're going to modify what has taken place. So we deal with a modifier and the positioning on the screen, and we want to center it on the screen itself. We're not done yet. We're going to add another modifier, and we're going to change the font size, and we're going to put it in an extra large font. Now, let's go ahead and test it to make sure that everything works so far. So let's exit out of the brain editor, select play, and here is our character. And let's get our character to find the path, walk through our beautiful, wonderful looking world, collect a coin, yay, and then hit the flag. And once we hit the flag, we can see that our text, congratulations, pops up, and we know that that piece of it actually works. Problem is, our game hasn't ended, so we're still playing the game. And we want the game to end. So let's go back into edit mode and work through ending the game. So we need to select the flag because we're going to continue with the brain editing for the flag. We want to go to the next page, which is where we were at. So after the victory text is displayed, what we would now want to do is kind of fade the screen to black and then end the game itself. So we're going to put another do action in here, and we're going to modify the appearance of the display, and we're going to cause it to fade, and it'll fade out over time. Okay, now we can set how long the fade out should take. So in other words, do we want it fast, do we want it slow? So we deal with modifiers to change what's known as a transition time, and then we select the plus side, and we go in and we add values. In this case, we choose a number, a new number, and we can put a value. So notice it says that how many seconds should the fade out take, and 1 to 3 seconds is a good length. So you don't want it to be too long, you don't want it to happen so fast that you kind of miss the effect. So let's put 3 seconds in, click the checkbox, and then we have to actually end the game, right? So we simply use what's known as a game over tile. So we will click on the next do action, change the appearance, so we select the appearance folder and the display, and we select the game over tile. So the when side is empty, which means the game over tile runs immediately when the brain switches to page two. Now, if we use the countdown timer to delay it by a few seconds, then we can see our screen fade. So in other words, what the game is telling us is that if we don't put a modifier in here, we won't see that screen fade effect, and the game will just immediately end as soon as we navigate to this page, and we may not get to see the victory message. So we're going to change by adding a timing and logic to the when side. So when we visit this page, we're going to put a countdown timer on it, and we're going to make some changes to the value of that countdown timer. We're going to put a number in, and select the number tile. And in this case, it says how many seconds should elapse before the game over screen appears. Now, we have to make it longer than that fade time. So we use 3 seconds for the fading of the screen. Let's go 5 seconds. So 2 seconds after the screen is faded, the game will end, right? So we put 5 seconds in here, and it won't run until the countdown timer has finished counting those specified number of seconds. Now, let's put the transition to the test and see what happens. So we exit the brain editor. We click on the play button. We come back in and our hero is back where we initially started him at. Let's collect a few more coins on the way over, visit our tree. Yay, it looks nice. And we come over, hit our flag, and we see congratulations. Screen fades out. And within about 5 seconds, boom, the game has ended. So notice it says that when in test mode, the game over tile returns you back to the create mode. But in play mode, the player will go to the end game screen. There you have it. This is our tutorial for Project Spark, running through all of the steps that the tutorial tells us to create a 3D adventure game with Project Spark. And we've created our own game. We've added a hero. We put an enemy in here. We've added some actions and behaviors for those. We colored our world with some textures. And we set up some logic for determining how the game will end. So this is a great little application to play with on the PC or on the Xbox console. Go ahead, download it. It's free. You will require a Microsoft account to sign in so that you can, again, store and collect all of those coins and credits and experience points that you can gather from it. Create your games, store them up on Xbox, let your friends play them, enjoy, have fun. So once again, I'm Jerry O'Brien. Hopefully you enjoyed this quick start challenge. Go download Project Spark and have some fun.